Hi everyone, I'm your host Tess from Spellbinding, and you're listening to Everyday Witch, a show that helps you discover and unlock the magic within. Hi everyone, today's guest is Alexis, who is the creator of Glamour Witch, that is a modern witch's boutique offering witchy support and a community. Thank you so much for joining me today, and can you please explain to our listeners a little bit more about who you are and what you do?
Yes, thank you so much for having me. Yes, I am the Glamour Witch. I'm also a professional R&B neo-soul singer as well. And I teach about magic, metaphysics, manifestation, and glamour magic, of course. I've been doing this practice for almost 10 years now. I'm really excited to share space with you.
Thanks so much for being here. Yes, and you're a singer. Do you want to expand on that a little bit more? Like, how long have you been singing and how many albums do you have?
Yeah, for sure. So I've been a performer and artist for majority of my life. I've sang since I was a little girl. And I went to school for acting as well as vocals, jazz vocals here in Los Angeles. And I have two albums out right now, and I'm actually releasing a new song on November 24th, which I'm super excited about. So my music is like in the realm of like witchy R&B, neo soul vibe. So stuff that you could like listen to while you're getting ready, but also stuff that you could listen to while you're doing ritual work or manifestation. My music is meant to be very healing, but also empowering and give you that little added boost before you go out and take on the world.
Yeah, I love that. That's awesome that you already have like two albums out already. That's really cool. Since you are the Glamour Witch, I was wondering if you could talk about what glamour magic is and how it's different.
Okay. Yeah. For me, glamour magic is the art of enhancing and highlighting your physical and your spiritual beauty, right? Or even your emotional beauty or your intellectual beauty, any parts of you that exist getting more attention from the world, right? Really accentuating the parts of you that are the most dynamic, the most magnetic to appeal to the cosmos and calling forth whatever it is that you're desiring, right? So that could be money, that could be success, that could be a partner, that could be friendships, whatever the case may be, but bringing out your most authentic self so that it attracts the same back to you. A lot of people think of glamour magic in terms of like the craft, which is like a funny and maybe fun way of thinking about it, you know, changing your physical appearance and all that stuff. But now we got makeup and all types of things. You don't even need to do magic for half the stuff that people wanted to do back then. But, I think on a soul level, we recognize glamour magic even as a act of safety and protection as well. I mean, we see it in nature, the way that animals will camouflage themselves so that they are able to survive, right? And in ways, we do want to put our best foot forward, and not always is it seen and really understood. Glamour magic gives you an opportunity to allow those things to be highlighted and paid attention to, right? But it does take a lot of introspection, self-love, and healing to even know what those things are and to be able to stand in that power and in that truth. So it's a really, for me, it's been such a powerful gift, and it really has helped serve other aspects of my magic, no matter what it is, you know, love or protection or healing. This work has bled into so many aspects of my life that, you know, there's a separation, of course, in terms of, you know, this enhancement, but it really has kind of blessed me in so many ways that I almost kind of have melded it with everything, added it as kind of like a secret sauce into all of my work.
If someone wants to like get started with glamour magic, what do you recommend? Or is there a good resource for them to go to?
Yes. So I would always recommend checking out a couple of Glamour Magic books. There are a few out there. There is Glamour Magic by Deborah Castellino. She has a great book on Glamour Magic. Actually, one of the first Glamour Magic books that I read. There's The Glam Witch, also talks about the different ways that the Glamour Magic shows up in goddess archetypes. I love the book called Jailbreaking the Goddess, which talks about the different phases of femininity, but also just how we've kind of left certain parts behind in terms of our spiritual practice, and how to reinfuse them back in. And then a lot of the work that I teach is about radical self-honesty, right? Shadow work, because as much as we want to be seen as beautiful and glamorous and gorgeous, a lot of that is inhibited or blocked by our own self-doubt, our insecurities, our fears. And, you know, putting makeup or, you know, magic on top of a wound does not change the fact that it's still a wound and still needs to be addressed. So I do recommend that people first start with self-love and empowerment work, and then move their way up into, you know, things that have to do like beauty or attraction work, because it is an internal shift that has to happen first before you kind of go externally. I teach a course. It's a 4-week course that breaks down Glamour Magic into 4 main parts. And that's the self-love and empowerment, beauty, attraction, and magnetism, how to have influence in business or any type of space that you're trying to infiltrate, and then invisibility and protection work, because this work can actually serve to kind of shield you from the evil eye, negative Nancy's, or just generally people who don't want to see you stand in your power. So I have that available service. And then there's tons of beautiful content creators who also do the same thing. There is a content creator, her name is Luna. She is a glamour witch as well. I love her content. The Stylist Witch, she has great content on how to bring fashion magic into the work using colors and understanding of the zodiac. I mean, there's just endless. I mean, it's starting to kind of become a thing now, which I love seeing more of that on like TikTok and YouTube, but there's endless resources out there for anyone who's looking to start.
Yeah, it's huge on TikTok now. It's crazy how many, like, how big it's gotten and how many people know of it now. It's really, really interesting. And also, yeah. I love how you talk about the shadow work, because I feel like so many people get into magic because they're like, oh, it's something easy and a quick fix. And then you're like, oh, no, you have to do all this work. And
yeah,
and everyone's like, shock. Wait, what?
Real shock. And they find out like, oh, man, like, my insecurities are coming forward, right? I mean, even in just terms of like how you phrase certain things when you're manifesting, right? How you go about wording it will help you identify what you even believe is possible, what you believe about yourself. And that takes time, right? Like over the course of, you know, expanding into this work. And, you know, even when I started, like, I realized like, wow, like I'm not really truly trusting the universe. I'm kind of hoping for something to happen, and this is actually getting in the way. And then I'm like, okay, well, I know that this is getting in the way. What is it that needs to be done to change? And that usually is not the fun, glamorous stuff. It's usually like my childhood trauma and that ex that left me on red, you know, it's the stuff we don't want to get into, but the most necessary and important things.
Yes, 100%. And that's the things that like no one considers, but definitely important.
Yeah.
Was there something that inspired you to start the Glamour Witch?
You know, like I said, I'm a performer and an artist. So in a way, glamour magic has always been imbued in my life, even before I really knew that that's what I was doing. But in terms of like finding the name or like owning that, I had a performance one time in LA. There was before 2020. I would perform every single week. And I did that for like a year at this place called Mama Lion here in Los Angeles. Really amazing, a venue with talented singers and performers. So it really gave me the confidence over time to like build that up. And I was at that point, like really in my magic and practicing a lot. And so I would go on stage and I would, you know, be oiled down with all the potions and the lotions and doing my stuff prior, you know, and my chants. And then I'd go on stage and I'd create this, like almost kind of casting this smoke out into the audience to kind of bring them into the story that I was telling. And then I'd come off stage and, you know, people will be a little like, whoa, like what's going on? And I remember I invited my friend one time to come see me, did the same practice. And she turns to me, I come to the bar and she was like, so what do you think? She's like, girl, what just happened? Like, that was amazing. Like you just transformed, like you're just, it was so glamorous. Like you're like a glamour witch. And I was like, oh, okay, I like that. And since then, I've kind of been like, okay, I love that idea, you know? And I didn't even realize at the time that that was a thing. I didn't even realize that a glamour witch was a type of practitioner. And I kind of went on the hunt to kind of see, okay, what is glamour magic? And I was like, dang, I've been doing this whole time. Like it's been inherently within me. And so from that point, it kind of trickled into, you know, me making my YouTube channel, which is where it kind of first originated. And then ultimately, I always wanted to have a witchy shop. Like I can't, like from the time that I even started practicing, I always imagined myself having a little boutique or having a, like a space where people come in and I cast spells for them and they come back and they're like, oh my gosh, like, thank you for that spell. Like it changed my life. I got the job. Like I always kind of had that manifestation within me. So when 2020 hit, I had already kind of been building the momentum of that. And it just made sense to me to call it the Glamour Witch because it gave me so much power to even like claim that. So I was like, there it is. That's the name.
That's awesome. Do you carry products also? Do you have a favorite product that you carry?
Well, we can be here all week, but my favorite right now is my Queen Bee oil, which I actually have over here, which I always wear this before I do interviews because it's just for me, it highlights my magnetism, it boosts my energy, my confidence, and it also allows for me to stand strong in what it is that I'm carrying, what I'm presenting. I will say the funny thing when I made this, I was not thinking about, you know, when I'm making the ingredients and stuff like that, I'm putting the intention in, but I'm not thinking about necessarily always how, when I go outside, even the animals react to the oil. So I live in Los Angeles. So I go outside and suddenly there was no bees, but suddenly there are tons of bees around me. Like even energetically, it kind of puts this signal on to you as somebody kind of deserving of attention. And there's a nice little fragrance to it as well. But I love this one for interviews, for going into auditions, for performing, anything where you want to kind of stand in your divine energy. Love my Glamour Magic oil, tried and true, of course. And I feel like I'll be wearing it out. Like the label might be a little like coming off or something because I bust it out any and everywhere. Love that for just overall enhancement. My Empress oil, same thing. That's more for bringing in privilege or access to VIP treatment. There is a confidence element in there as well, but it's more focusing on getting others to do for you. So it's a little bit of like domination and attraction and almost kind of like a Pompagira kind of oil that kind of attracts big spenders and people who are willing to put their money where their mouth is to help you. So those are my like go-to three that I like to use interchangeably. So yeah.
Yeah, those all sound really good and useful. So yes. That's great. Do you have a favorite service then that you offer or just, you know, to do?
Yeah, you know what? I actually love my group rituals for two reasons. One, I'm always super excited to do group rituals because one, I get to see in real time the different ways that the candles or whatever we're doing has a different reaction, right? Like I get to see in real time, like what's happening. And I'm very much a mad scientist with my magic. So it's really thrilling for me, but I also get to teach, right? So it's not just doing the spell workings and like, okay, everybody, like, that's it. See ya. You know, I actually get to teach people what it is that we're doing. They get to take those teachings. I always record any ritual that I do. They get to take that recording and continue to add it either into their practice or to be blessed by whatever came forward. And it's different every time. You know, spirit will come in and have a message just randomly in the middle of the ritual that has, maybe it doesn't even seem like it has anything to do with the working. And then suddenly it appears. And every person that comes in has a wildly different experience. And so it's really enriching for me. I mean, as a teacher, anytime, the more you teach, the better you get at what it is that you're teaching. But it's also beautiful to see how my students and the people who are ritual members, just the blessing that kind of comes out of it for them. And it just keeps feeding, right? Like it's like a cycle of healing. And people will email me from a ritual I did last year and be like, I still watch this video. I just get blown away by this one part where the candle just all of a sudden you start talking and the candle just like explodes or something. Like little things like that are so exciting to me. And it also is so educational and understanding like the realness of this work that we're doing. It is not just aesthetic or, you know, pretty works. It's real, you know, and there's nothing better than being able to have that real moment with another person, even if it's just digitally online, where you and them both get to have a spiritual experience. And we all just sit back like, wow, like this is amazing. I'm so happy that I'm here.
Yeah. Do you think that, I don't even know how to word this, but like, do you think that magic is almost more powerful with the use of technology?
You know, it's so interesting that you bring that up because I do find that when I first started the practice, I didn't really see a lot of people doing like, there is such thing as like techno magic, right? And I didn't really see a lot of that, but now I'm recognizing how those things have kind of always been merged in a way, because technology is just like that, even like the internet, how we're connecting. It's this like kind of invisible space that is like we're able to tap into, but doesn't really like live anywhere. It's really this odd thing, but we already know that that is a thing in our practice when we talk about like the spirit realm or the etheric realm or the dream realm, right? And to have this space that's man-made that we've created to connect with each other almost gives us more of a deeper understanding of these other spiritual elements, right? So I love that it's blending together. I think it's really supportive in helping to get the magic out there to more people who maybe would not have had access to it before. You know, think about 100 years ago or even a little bit more than that, like it was all like word of mouth or the community that you had within your circle. And now I get to interact with people all over the world and teach them. I mean, this has not only made the magic more potent, but it's also inspired us, right? It's the things that we wouldn't even have thought about that, you know, I'm seeing on TikTok, a person like, oh, well, this is what I do in my practice. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's genius. Like nobody that I know would be doing something like this. I'm so happy, right? Or types of herbs or other things that we wouldn't really understand or truly be able to interact with in our space, now we're exposed to. So I feel like in a way in the internet has helped improve the magical community, but it definitely, there's definitely some downsides to the World Wide Web.
Yes. Well, that's the other side is like, especially since you have a bigger TikTok following, Do you ever feel like energetically burnt out from social media, from the internet, from all that? And how do you, or what advice do you have to prevent that?
Oh my gosh. Yes. So the answer is a big yes. I have to often take breaks from social media. I do batch content. So I try to spend like a week or so, like a couple of days doing enough content that will last me a little while so that when I am feeling like, oh my gosh, I need some time, I still am able to post and I don't get lost in the algorithm because you know how TikTok be playing games. But I also think it's too like understanding the ebb and flow of creative energy and not being like so worried about what people are doing or what's going on, and remembering like you're still a human being, there's still a life to live, there's still grass to touch, you know, there's so much to experience. And a part of how I'm able to come back and provide any of the stuff that I do on my TikTok is because I give myself the opportunity to go out there and experience some stuff and then come back and be like, yo, this is what's going on. Like, this is crazy. You know, I think reminding yourself that it's okay to take those breaks, especially when your body is telling you like, I need a second. So important. It's also like a habit on TikTok, especially, I think even on Instagram, but more so on TikTok, is the endless scrolling, right? And the highs and lows that the app will take you through. Like, you'll be watching this cute little cat video, and then all of a sudden, like, some violence will show up on your screen that just like makes you so sad, and then something scary, and then someone is making you laugh again, and then it's a cooking video. Like, you know what I mean? It's like you're going through so many emotional things that it's important to cleanse yourself of that and give yourself at least a break or a cutoff time. So I'm very, very meticulous about that. And then in terms of like witch talk and all of that, I really try to avoid any of the drama that pops up in the community. You know, I think that as a influencer with a bigger platform, it is my responsibility to voice when I see something is wrong or when there is something going on that I feel like, okay, this is not what we stand for. But I really try to stay out of things because people just like to, people like to be petty. They like to stir the pot, you know? And sometimes it feels a little bit like, no shade to the makeup community, but sometimes it'd be feeling like the makeup community, the little drama and stuff like that. Like, oh, did you hear about so-and-so? So I just like, I try to scroll past and not even feed in or entertain people's back and forth things. And you never really know what's true. And a lot of these people don't really even know each other. They're on different sides of the planet and formulated this beef digitally. So I try not to just feed into any of the toxicity that's there while also trying to make sure that I'm, you know, aware of the truly messed up stuff that's happening that needs voicing. But I just try to like do my own thing. Maybe it's a little of Aquarius energy of like, there's a natural propensity to be a little bit of a lone wolf, but at the same time, remembering that like, it's an app, you know, like we're supposed to be having fun. We're not supposed to be having these like wars digitally online. And also too, like not everything in your practice you need to share. Like you don't have to share everything that you're doing. Like, you know, I think that that's where the problem starts to come in is people want to put every little detail of their craft on there. And then there's the scrutiny and the judgment and the misunderstandings. And it leads to backlash and just craziness that your girl ain't trying to be a part of. So that's how I deal with it.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. Like I've tried to get involved in any sort of drama, and it's really important to take breaks. Like yeah. I can feel it in, like, if I spend all day on Instagram or TikTok, I am exhausted by the end of the day. Yeah. And it's so crazy how like just looking at your phone all day can do that, but it's like draining. It's so draining. So I don't know. Yeah. I don't know how people like do that full time, 24/7, never taking a break.
Easy. And I see people who post like sometimes even like 6 or 7 times a day, which means that they're always on the app. And I'm like, girl, like, what are you doing? Like, did you eat today? What time do you have to like do anything else? And I think that for some people, I think that they get on the app because it does, like, you know, it helps them with their mental health, you know, like this is like the only community that they have or the only people that they feel like really cares about them or wants to hear from them. And it's a source of, in a way, like almost like therapy for them. But it does get to the point where it's like, yeah, you really are going through so many highs and lows within that app. And like time just begins to speed up. Like, it's 10 o'clock in the morning and then suddenly it's 2:30 and you're like, I've been on TikTok this whole time. Like, what am I doing?
Yes. It's so crazy. Is there something that like a reason why you started your TikTok, or was it just like COVID and you had nothing else to do?
So yeah, COVID definitely was a benefit, I guess, in that way. Because I was kind of fascinated with the app. And at first I was like, I'm not going to get a TikTok. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to stick with YouTube and Instagram. But then a part of me was like, you know what? I might be missing something. And I'm super glad that I didn't, you know, stay on my little, like, I'm Aquarius, I'm different vibe, and actually venture into doing that, because I was able to, one, find more community, and two, it helped me, like, it almost in a way helped me solidify my practice. Like, I knew I wanted to be, you know, an influencer in terms of that, but it almost reinforced it when I saw other practitioners so boldly sharing and standing in their power. I was like, oh my God, wow, this is beautiful. I love this content creator. They're not just doing like tutorial videos on rituals, but they're like funny, and you get to see like other sides of them. And I was like, well, this is great. Like, I now get to share other parts of my life with my community. Like, this is awesome. My music, my sense of humor, all of that style. And it gave me like a jolt of creative energy as well. So yeah, I'm so happy. Almost, it's like 2020 did a number on all of us in a lot of ways, but it did fast track a lot of people into their spiritual journey, which actually boosted and encouraged more of the spiritual workers to come forward and provide their gifts. So, you know, I took that call to action, and, you know, so many months later, years later now, like, you know, here I am talking to you, you know?
Yeah, it did. The ways COVID affected things is like totally not what people expected, even like, right, technology, like, this is like how everything happens now, you know. Yeah. And it's, everyone's working from home, it's so much easier.
Yeah. Yeah,
but that would have never happened. It probably would have taken like another 10 years for everyone to be remote and working from, right, home. So it's, right, just really interesting. You also have a money magic masterclass, and I was wondering if you could talk about like how people can help their money mindset or help with money magic, and who that class is best suited for.
Yes. So the money alchemy class is for beginners and intermediate. I like to say that it's good for anybody, but, you know, I really focus on people who are starting their practice, but also people who are finding that the same kind of money rituals that they've been doing are kind of getting stale, and they're looking for just a new way to engage with magic, but also with their prosperity work, right? So it breaks down the basics of money magic, making an altar for anyone who's really, really new. And then it also challenges the beginner, but also inspires the intermediate to step into works like working with angels, and working with more intelligent spirits to help move and shift things, astrally, to get you that type of money and those funds that you want. Right. So, and then there's a 30-day challenge, which I love, and I activate every other month, basically, that really will shift and move blockages and clear away stagnancy, and also show you your level of dedication with your consistency in calling abundance forward, and not just the ways that you're intentionally being like, oh, I'm manifesting like 15 grand this month or like whatever, but like how you're physically taking care of your body. You know, how often do you go out and make contact with nature, you know, and recognize the abundance that the universe is always offering us? You know, are you holding and storing unforgiveness within yourself? How that actually blocks finances and things of that nature. Other parts of your, you know, spiritual practice that need some, you know, uplifting, the things that you're eating, doing things like fasting, and how that can kind of shift some stuff. And usually people find that like within the first 2 to 3 weeks, or just the first like 2 weeks of the practice, they find that all of a sudden, okay, money is coming in, right? So they know the things that really work for them. You know, maybe it's the honey jar, maybe it's, you know, doing the fasting for 3 days. You know, they love the rituals as well, but they find that sometimes it's the more practical applications that get things moving, right? So it kind of gives you more to access and dip into. And it reminds you that this is a everyday practice and not just a emergency, like, I need some money like next week because rent's due. You know, it's like, I need to be consistent with it and have a healthy relationship with money so that it wants to be with me. You know, looking at money is almost like a person, you know, money's comfortable around me. Money loves me. Money is always like, you know, wants to lay down next to me, wants to be in my space, wants to hang out and grab coffee, you know, having this true relationship with it and making it fun and interesting for yourself. So I would say anybody who's looking either to up level their practice or anybody who's just kind of like a little bit confused about any of this and what it means, it's perfect for them.
Yeah, that's great. I love that. It's like consistency is totally key when it comes to that. But a lot of times people are just lighting a candle and one time is all it takes.
Ooh, that green candle, the way they be wearing out that green candle. I'm like, let's put the green candle away.
Yes. Well, one question I ask every guest is, what does magic mean to you?
Oh, my goodness. Ooh. Such an esoteric question. I feel like we'd be here all week talking about this. Magic to me, and I made a video about this recently, means always finding creative solutions to life's uncertainty, right? Like it's pushing me always to see the symbolism or recognizing the opportunity that life is presenting instead of being a victim of circumstance, right? When you know that you can create anything, you can bend energy and things to your will, that you can assert yourself in this reality, you take more responsibility for your life. You don't see the unfortunate things that happen in life as like this like act of God, like what the hell is going on. You see it as like, okay, wow, this is strengthening me, right? The mindset shift that it gives you, right? It asserts you to really delve into your personal practice and delve into your own personal healing and make yourself responsible for that, right? Instead of making it about like, okay, well, this is my mom did this or my dad did this to me when I was a kid and like I can never like move past it. Like it gives you so much power and freedom and also responsibility. So it's almost helped me recognize who I am as a person. And so I mean, what it means to me is everything. It's all of life. It's everywhere. It's in interwoven in all the things that we, you know, interact with in this reality. We just don't always necessarily call it magic, but it is, you know, we're living in a very magical world. And when you start to be able to see it and take the glasses off and you start to be able to see everything, you can never go back. Right. And I think about all the years that I didn't know about magic and like, I'm like, damn girl, you're out here living life raw dogging it. It's like, this is like, it's so much better. You know, it doesn't mean that there's not struggles, but man, I didn't have any idea how much, you know, healing and alleviation and creativity and inspiration that I could find in even the darkest places until I had magic in my life. So yeah, that's what it means for me.
That literally goes kind of perfectly into the next question, which is, in one of your TikTok videos, you talked about how you got to where you are because a lot of suffering, and this seems to be the case for a lot of the people I've had on, and even personally for me. And I was wondering if you could talk about more how going through that might have changed or helped you in ways you didn't realize.
Yeah. I think that, you know, for the obvious reasons, we all understand how suffering is kind of like being forged in the fire, right? We're going in as this unrefined thing that needs to be built up and strengthened. That process is painful and it feels chaotic and also like we have zero control about what is happening to us. And in the midst of it, it's just pain, right? And so you don't really see what's happening to you. You don't see what's falling away, what's being renewed. You don't even know really what's going on, but you kind of just at some point have to surrender, right? And at the end of it, when the fire is done and you come out reemerged, Hopefully you have recognized that, you know, not only did you survive it, but, or you were better for it. The video that I made was speaking to, and I mean, I've had many hard things happen to me in my life, but that specific video was more speaking about the recognition of the cycle of victimhood, right? The moments that there's a period in time to be mad, right? About just how fucked up life can be sometimes, and just like people and situations and like everything that could go wrong does. When it rains, it pours. And then there's a moment where you get almost sick of hearing yourself complain. You get so tired of being sad and upset and cursing the sky that you're almost like, okay, well, this isn't doing anything either. You know, I need to find a new solution. It's in that little pocket where you start to recognize like, wow, I've actually prolonged a little bit of this with my own like negativity. These things were not okay and they were fucked up, but I also reacted to them so negatively that I dragged myself even deeper into some of these situations. Now that I'm aware, I am going to try to make a difference, right? I'm going to wake up differently. I'm going to interact with people differently. I'm going to shift myself away from certain environments and connections. I'm going to do everything that I can do in my power, and I'm going to allow the universe to do the rest, right? It's like remembering that the sun definitely will set, right? But it also has to rise again, right? The rain will always come, but so will the sunlight. And when you start to kind of step into that space, there's no more fear there of like, okay, well, I know it's sunny right now, so there's going to be some rain. It's more like, I'm so grateful for this sun, and I'm going to find a way to also be grateful for the rain, because I know what happens when it rains. I know it gets wet and cold and you can't really go outside, but I know that the flowers and the plants become more lush and vibrant with color. It smells better when you go outside. The air is cleaner. The benefit of that. And I stop getting upset about the rain, and I start becoming empowered by it as well. And so in that time of that extreme struggle for me, when I started to recognize like, okay, well, I'm just kind of feeding into this nasty energy myself, I started to kind of let go of the need for people to apologize to me or make things right. And I started to just make it right for myself. I started to make promises and keep those promises to myself, which then gave me more confidence. I started to see my body as an offering table, as an altar space. And I began to tend to it physically, and the things that I was consuming, eating, the things I was consuming online, even the music that I was listening to, you know, I started to get very meticulous about all the little things that I was doing, and not out of spite, but out of empowerment, right? And then everything shifted. It was like the universe was like, well, it's about damn time. We were waiting for you, bitch. And it's like, you realize I actually been out of the fire for a while. I stayed there because I thought it's never going to change. It's just always going to be this hurtful. And yeah, I mean, I'm even getting a little emotional just thinking about it. It's like the lights come on, right? And so many of us, I mean, even within the last couple of years, especially, struggle with depression and anxiety and so many things. And so many of us have gone through loss in this time. And it does seem almost senseless in a way. But there is a part of you that is cultivated in that space. There's empathy that is created within you. There's more appreciation for the time that you have here. You know, there's more gratitude for the little simple things. And sometimes you can't even get to that place without the suffering or the opposite of it. You can't appreciate it until either it's gone or it's not the same, right? And so it's the opportunity of living all of life experiences, even the ones that are not super great. We came down here to do that, to be alchemized to our best version. And when you recognize that, it no longer becomes suffering. It becomes an opportunity. So yeah, I hope that answered the question.
I think you described it perfectly. And it's like, becoming aware of balance and the fact that, you know, there's good and bad, but that's not a bad thing because that's required in life. You have to have the bad in order to really recognize and appreciate the good. Right. And it's just, that's just life. Like, you can't be stuck in the bad and the negative, but you also aren't always going to be stuck in the good and happiness and light. But if you can like go back and forth between them and not always be stuck in one or the other, that's the ideal situation.
Yeah. It makes it easier to be like the water, right? To ebb and flow with what's going on and to be flexible. You know, the tree that cannot bend with the wind breaks. And so that's really what life is teaching us, is having that flexibility. And, you know, I think too, right now with we're kind of in this community, right? Which is like at sometimes hyper positive, right? It's all this love and light and keep your vibes high, you know? And it's like unrealistic because we're literally as a collective going through a huge purge and upheaval. And so that brings all these other kind of gnarly energies with it. And there's no place to fully express those things because it's like, gotta stay paused. Gotta stay positive because you're not going to be able to manifest that car without the, you know, the glow of that. But recognizing, like you said, the balance, the duality, and the importance of both sides makes you a more powerful person, allows you to access the energy of both of them to call for forth whatever you want, no matter if the sun is out or if it is a dark night, right? And yeah, it's important for us to remember that like positivity is kind of almost false in a certain way, because it's like, it's never meant to be on one side of the scale. It's always going back and forth. And this is actually the positive, right? Is knowing and believing and trusting that no matter what happens to you, you will always be strong enough to come back to center. So, you know, you got to test it out somehow.
Yes. And usually the people who are like love and light and extreme toxic positivity are like, you have so much buried shit that you need to deal with that you're covering with all that light.
Yeah.
And eventually it's going to like come back up.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. It's scary too. It's scary to see it. And, you know, not to segue too far away, but like there's a lot of spiritual psychosis that happens in our community. And it's a very dangerous place. And that's why it's important to remember, like, yes, a lot of the things that good things that will happen to you in your life will be from you raising your vibration to meet those good things and believing in them, right? Like, can't be a negative person, expect all these good things to happen in your life. But at the same time, people go through shit. And we have to recognize that that is also a part of how you get what you want too, because you cannot really truly know yourself until you've been through everything with yourself and survived and come out on the other side. So a lot of times people will go into these spiritual psychosis and they won't even seek help. They won't get the things that they need because they feel like it's not spiritually, you know, tapped in or connected. Like, oh, I don't need to go to therapy because I'm, you know, connected to the cosmos, or I don't need to take my medication because, you know, I'm a divine being. I can just heal myself. And it's like, yes, you can heal yourself, but medicine is great. You know, like modern medicine is a thing for a reason, right? There's also a lot of magic and power in the things that we've created from the beginning of time till now. I mean, the people back then probably think that we're doing sorcery with the type of technology that we have, right? There's no reason not to utilize everything that this world currently has to offer you in terms of your healing and your evolution. And that means sometimes to put the candle away and go seek therapy or help or eat something, right? Like, you can't substitute like magic or any type of spiritual practice for like real life mundane things that can be beneficial. And so some of that is like getting angry, you know. Anger is sometimes the best way to know what your boundaries are and the best way to remove people that don't need to be in your life. And I had to learn that lesson about like, I didn't want to be angry. I didn't want to get upset. I didn't want to fall into stereotypes or tropes, or to just allow myself to let somebody come get me out of my energy. But I didn't recognize what the anger was doing for me. it was allowing me to no longer be a victim or to be oppressed by a person's energy or intention or their actions, and to assert my dominance again, and then make sure that I remember that feeling and never allow myself to go back into that place, right? So without that, without the acceptance of that, you know, your girl will be dealing with some stuff that she doesn't need to be dealing with. You know what I mean? We all have to recognize the importance for even the kind of not so fun, cute, glamorous, emotional highs and lows that we go through.
Yes, I relate to that so hard with the anger and everything. I totally relate to that. But yeah. I agree. There's a lot of like conspiracy theories in the spiritual community that can be very dangerous.
Yeah.
That people kind of are like, oh, well, you know, I'm the chosen one, or yes, I'm a higher being, and I'm right, seeing these things because, like, I'm connected to God, when it's like, okay, but maybe you should, like, see someone.
Yeah, or maybe you haven't slept things, for 3 days.
Right. Maybe there's another reason why you're seeing things. Like,
right,
I think that, like, medicine and science go hand in hand with, like, yes, witchcraft and spirituality.
Yes.
But I think there's a whole other side where it can be dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Very much so. And we have to, like, as a teacher myself, it's like my spiritual responsibility as well to make sure I'm not leading people into spiritual psychosis or leading them down a path where they cannot, you know, figure out how to move forward, right? And so we've got to be checking ourselves. And I think that's why a lot of people, they gravitate towards people who are also like that, because they don't have the ability to regulate within themselves. And so, like, as much as I like to light a candle, the self-love and the healing and the confidence stuff, like, sometimes it's just like, I got to cry. I got to call a friend. I got to, you know, call my therapist and get somebody who's not spiritually tapped in or into spirituality to, like, shed some light on where I'm at. And, like, am I doing this? Am I doing something wrong? Like, am I past the point, right? Like, where should I be focusing? And I think once you really know yourself that way, then you can actually direct magic more accurately to solve problems. I mean, without that, like, kind of testing ground of, like, the neutral space, you really have the potential to lose yourself on either side. And that can be super dangerous and sometimes provide irreversible damage. So yeah, be safe out there, kids.
Yes, definitely. And it's also like, even if you want to be as spiritual as you possibly can, you're still a human and you still have emotions, and you have to understand right, those emotions and, like, how it affects you and why certain things affect you. Mm-hmm. And that's, like, yeah, a normal human experience, you know, like right, why you were raised the way you were and everything that affects you the way it does. That's not going right, to be something spiritual.
Yeah. You're meant to have a human experience here. And the best way to do that is to not make yourself feel bad about doing human things. You know, I recently saw somebody posting that they were gonna, like, you know, fasting is a great thing, but they were, like, saying that they didn't need food or whatever the case, they just were gonna absorb the sun. And I think that there are people out there who sit in the sun and sunbathe, and, like, that's where they get their nutrients from. But I'm like, imagine being, like, a teenager and, like, coming on TikTok or online and seeing these people talk about this so adamantly, and you have an eating disorder, you know, and you're being told that you don't need to eat, you know, you could just stand out in the sun. You know, what happens when it's wintertime, or what happens when that doesn't work for you anymore, right? You're having people encourage you to do things that, you know, maybe you're not thinking fully all the way through, you know, and you're thinking, well, they're super spiritual and I want to be spiritual, so maybe this is the right choice. And we all have to really have discernment and really protect ourselves, because, you know, I'm a teacher, I'm a healer, but I always tell my students, like, never give your power away to me, because, you know, I'm just here to give you information and you get to do what you want to do with it. But at the end of the day, if something doesn't resonate with you, you need to trust that over anything that I'm saying. You know, I'm not the end all be all creator of this reality or magic. And so, you know, how the universe is going to show up for you is going to be different. And you have to be willing to listen to that intuitive nudge over trends or people that you are inspired by. I mean, if Beyonce went and jumped off a cliff. I am not doing it. I'm sorry, girl. I loved your last album, but you going over alone. You know what I mean? So you have to be willing to separate yourself from even your most, you know, inspirational leaders and coaches, because you still have to lay down in bed with yourself and to look at yourself in the mirror every night. And, you know, you want to make sure you're good at the end of the day.
Yeah, I think that is the biggest downside to social media, like we were talking about, is that there are so many trends that just catch on and people don't even do any research about it or think twice about it. And they're just like, oh, well, this is the cool new trend and I'm going to just start doing it. Like, I mean, to me, star seeds is a really big one.
Oh,
I don't
know
how you feel about that, but like I did all this research lately about it and the history is fucking crazy.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
Like, yeah, it's insane. It's also crazy, the ties to white supremacy.
Yes.
And it's like, it's just insane. And there was a time where I was like, oh, maybe what is this? But I never really got into it. I was just like, that's interesting. Like the idea, like, of course I believe that there's aliens. Like, that's just insane not to believe that there's other living things out in the universe. But, you know, to think that some of the stuff is just insane. It's absolutely insane. And like, if you really go into it, you can see, but if you're already in a spiritual psychosis, it all seems real. It all seems like, yeah, this makes sense.
I mean, just the fact that the person who wrote the first book about it was coined America's Hitler is the most amazing thing to me. Like, no one did any research, or if they did, I guess they just didn't care.
And yeah, that like, little part, like, Jesus, it's insane. It's crazy. And also too, like, you know, people love a good, like, fantasy thing or a thing that just makes them feel extraordinary, superhuman. Like, you know, everybody wants to feel empowered and good or unique. But there's other ways to do that that doesn't lead you into like perpetuating negative historical like trauma that, you know, sets us back and takes us back in time in a negative way. But yeah, you gotta be careful out here, especially during lockdown. I mean, I felt like it was really taking off. I mean, that and the CIA documents, which I was really into that too. But, you know, it was the rabbit hole that you could go down.
Oh, yeah, it was, especially with, like, all the conspiracies and the different organizations.
Yeah.
It was, like, everything on Instagram, you were like, I don't know if this is legit. I don't know what's going on.
Right, and because it was such a extraordinary time that we were living in, we were like, oh, my God, at this point, any and everything could be true. Like, who would have thought that the world would literally take a break? Literally, everybody decided, I'm going to go inside of my house and I'm not going to leave. And I can't leave, right? Like, the fact that we were able to collectively do that, I mean, that's unheard of. I mean, I don't think that we would all do it again. But in that moment, we were like, what? Like, this is insane. So aliens became very, like, yeah, okay, I can see that. I never thought that we'd be having like a zombie apocalypse vibe going on right now. Like, you know, so it was a weird time. And also I think people at the time really just felt like doomsday, and almost in a little bit of a way, like, okay, life is over. Like, it's ending. Like, you know, I got to get my ducks in a row. Like, all the things that they say weren't true are true. Like, you know, and a lot of truth was revealed, but some of it was just like, everybody, we need to take a nap. Did you drink some water today? Did you eat something? Like, step away from the laptop.
And I think, like, really everyone always is just looking for an answer. And sometimes it's like, there is no answer, or you just didn't like the answer. That's the problem.
It's really that one. That's the one. They didn't like the answer, so they made one that was more suitable.
Okay, well, the last question is just, what's something magical that happened to you this week? And it can be magic, it can be a synchronicity, or just something kind.
You know, it didn't happen this week. It happened this last weekend, and I went out to the park with a friend, and we were doing a picnic. And I usually go to that park all the time, and like, you know, whatever, it's a park. usually there's no real big activities, and there's usually even not a lot of animals because there's so many humans there. So the animals kind of don't even feel like I don't want to deal with that. But we were there, we were hanging out, and we were having a little picnic, and I had done some magic prior to going there, just like some confidence. Okay, so the friend was somebody that I was dating. So I was doing a little magic on myself, a little glamour magic, you know. So we go on the date, and we're sitting there, and suddenly we are being greeted by all the animals that live in the park. You know, the squirrels and the birds and the bees are like circling us. And I'm like, what is going on, to the point where we had to like get up and move our stuff away because we were like, maybe they're attracted to the food, you know? So we put all the food away and we moved from that location, and they followed us around the park until we left. And I don't think I've had that much animal activity, or just like the way that they were so adamant about being around us. And they weren't like aggressive or mean or anything like that. It was just like, they were very intrigued. And I thought it was the food, but when we put the food away, we put the food in the car. I mean, they still were like, who are you? Like, what is this like thing around this woman? And I felt like Snow White a little bit in that moment. And, you know, yes, it's nice to know that even the animals are seeing what's going on. It's like even the animals were tapped into what was going on. But that was like a little fun experience. And I felt like, too, I like, luckily, the person I was with was a good sport about it. But I felt like he even was like, what's going on? Like, why are the squirrels looking at you like that? Do they know something? So I was like, no, I don't know. I don't know the squirrel. I don't know. We ain't even homies like that. Like, I swear. So it was a nice little magical story, and definitely a memorable date.
That's so funny. Were you wearing one of your body oils?
I was. I was like thinking that I was doing something, you know. I was like, okay, I'm about to really step into the energy, and the animals were like, we love this. Can we come home with you? And I was like, no, please don't.
That's interesting. I wonder if it's like a specific scent or something. Yes. Like specific oil that really attracts them.
I was like, maybe I need to go back and like just like try like one of the oils and just see like what it is that's going on. But I did a ritual bath the night before, and I had done some candle magic just on myself, and I didn't really think about it. I just was like, you know, it's just a habit of like practicing, and I'm usually not going out to parks during the day. I'm usually going to dinner. It's like nighttime. It's not really animals and stuff like that. And also I live in Los Angeles. There's so much like activity that the animals really kind of try to like stay away from humans. So it was just more energy and like animal interaction than I've probably ever had since I've been in Los Angeles. So it just was like, listen, the birds and the bees and the trees are coming out.
That's so funny. Yeah, I mean, it means that it worked, I guess.
Yeah. I need to put a little warning label, like, this may attract squirrels, like, be cognizant.
Yeah, do not put it on and then go hiking.
Yeah, because you may become one with nature.
That's funny. Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast. I had such a great time talking with you.
Yes, thank you for having me. I had so much fun.
I hope you enjoyed this episode with Alexis from the Glamour Witch and all her knowledge on glamour magic and witchcraft. There will be links in the show notes. Make sure to follow Everyday Witch Pod to stay up to date. Also, rate and subscribe to the podcast. Thank you for listening, and don't forget, you are magic.